listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, July 13th, and it is time to check in with Kip Ellen at the LCMS 66th Regular Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Good morning, Kip.
Good morning, Andy. And I am Kip Ellen, broadcasting live from the 66th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the Wisconsin Center in downtown Milwaukee. With me, I have Pam Nielsen, who's with our communications department. The communications people have been everywhere. It seems like every time I turn around, I see Pam or one of her people around here. They're the ones who have really been keeping up on what's been going on with the convention. And Pam, what's your impressions of it so far? I mean, over and above the fact that you're exhausted.
Yeah, we've got, one day to go, and we're all pretty tired. I think it's been a great week. There's a good spirit in the hall. There's been some controversy, of course, and disagreements on some of the resolutions, but the worship and the Lutheran life together, the fellowship has been wonderful, and the care and concern that the delegates are bringing to their votes, to the discussions on the floor. People aren't taking things lightly. They're taking their task here of voting and deciding these things very seriously, and that's, for me, very heartening to see.
It was. One of the most heartening things for me were the morning worship services.
Yes.
I would go into the main convention hall, and there'd be hundreds and hundreds of people from all over the world and all over the United States, men, women, black, white, you name it, yeah. All united in that single Lutheran confession, listening to those wonderful, wonderful sermons.
It's wonderful, and the preaching has been fabulous. Vice President Dr. Daniel Preuss, his address was quite something yesterday. We heard from our director of Black Ministry, Reverend Roosevelt Gray, the other day. It's very encouraging, rich preaching that is full of the law and dripping with the gospel of Christ. Wonderful stuff.
Absolutely. You know, we may disagree sometimes on how to do it, but what to do. We're always united.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, one of the things we had discussed is the international reach of this convention. I personally have seen church representatives from Nigeria, from Liberia. I've seen them from a number of former Soviet-occupied lands. It's been a fascinating thing to see just how the international reach of the LCMS is.
This is really, it really is. We had people from all over the world here this week, and Reverend Culver, our director of church relations, who is sort of the ambassador for the LCMS, trotted up on stage yesterday, 30-some representatives from church bodies from all over the world and North America, everybody from our friends at the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, to leaders from countries in Africa, Asia, South America, and he recognized and helped the convention to understand that we have, first off, a growing list of partners,
yes,
official partners that we are in altar and pulpit fellowship, which means, you know, we can call their pastors into our parishes, they can call ours, we can worship together, commune together, those kinds of things. And so we now have 37 international partners, which,
wow,
is fabulous. But we also have another number, growing number of international Lutheran church bodies who are interested in talking about seeking partnership and fellowship with us, and we're in various stages of talks with them. And so it's another large group. There are others that might be a long way off, but we share some common concerns and things in the world, and so we have, I guess you could say, different levels of relationships. But it is a growing worldwide network of confessional Lutherans who realize in this day and age that we need to stand together, confess together, be together over against the world and all that it's throwing at the church.
One of the things I've discussed with several of our missionaries, excuse me, is one of the attractions of the Missouri Synod and of the Lutheran message to people is that we have been so constant in our message. We don't shift with the societal winds. We know what we're saying, when we're saying it, and we know our beliefs have been the same. We understand what the truth is, and the truth doesn't vary.
That's right, and I think that's one of the big attractions for these Lutheran church bodies. The one church leader, I think it was the man from Uruguay, who said, we're very small, and we look to you, you know, like a big brother, and we need your help, we need your strength and your encouragement. And I think it is that we have stood fast, we've confessed boldly, we have not wavered in what we believe, teach, and confess. And then these other churches around the world, you know, it isn't just that they need us, we need them. They have stood fast in incredible persecution. We can see it coming, and we, of course, we're already beginning to experience it here, but not to the degree or level that has been taking place in Europe and other parts of the world, and places where Islam is pressing or where just modern secularism is pressing. They have endured, and they have had to figure out, how does the church confess? How does she worship? How does she grow in times of real open persecution? And so they have much to teach us.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful thing that God does to bring his saints together and allow us to encourage and support each other.
That's absolutely true. I mean, Jesus was very, very upfront in the gospel that we will be persecuted for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we have seen this around the world. We're starting to see it in the U.S., which is very disconcerting.
Right, and the convention has been dealing with some of those realities. We spent time talking about our military chaplains and the press on them with the recent rulings that the military is going to affirm and uphold transgenderism, let alone gay marriage and the gay lifestyle. So, you know, we affirmed for our chaplains that, you know, their religious freedom to preach, teach, and confess as Lutherans, and yet recognizing that that's not going to be easy, and that there are going to be challenges for them. But as a church, we're going to stand behind them. And that was a significant thing. You know, the other thing, we have reaffirmed our views on marriage, same-sex marriage, and no surprise there, maybe, but we said it again. And for the world to know, we're not rocking here. We're solid. We're going to continue to preach and teach this way and to uphold these truths in the world.
And this is Scripture. We can't deviate from it, regardless
right.
of what government says.
Yes.
And then we have a duty as residents of the left-hand kingdom as well as the right-hand kingdom to correct our government when it is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is a danger sometimes where Christians will say, well, you know, this really is not my fight. My fight is in heaven. Well, no, it's not. God expects us to behave in both areas and to function in both areas. I think Luther was very upfront about that. We certainly have a duty to the state, but the state has a duty to us. And when the state deviates, it is incumbent upon us to correct it.
That's right. We must do that. And God will help us. You know, we say, God help us. He does. He stands with us.
Amen.
You know, another area that came up, and I think a lot of people walked into the convention with this as a concern, and it's tied to the military and this idea of conscribing women. So if we have a draft, then not only would young men be required by law to register for the draft and then could be called to service, but also women. And that's working through our legislature, I guess, was passed by the Senate and is going to be considered by the House. So a lot of people came with that concern, and we took action on that to say that we will stand behind any woman who believes that this is in violation of what God expects of her. And if she wants to object conscientiously on the grounds of her faith, the church will stand with her. So that's a significant thing to have your church body stand behind you and support you. And I was, you know, looking to see reaction to that as the story got out. I, online, I saw a lot of my church is protecting me. I'm so grateful. Finally, my church is, they're standing here and surrounding us and caring for the women in the church. And that was kind of an interesting and beautiful thing to see.
It really was. It's amazing to me about how broad-ranging the reach of the message of the Lutheran Church is. One of the better interviews I think I had this week was with Matt Heisey, who's with the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and where they translate Lutheran documents specifically. You know, the Bible is everywhere, but the Catechism isn't.
That's right.
And this is one of the things he's doing, is he's helping to spread the word of Martin Luther to areas that already know Christianity but don't know Lutheranism.
Mm-hmm. And that's important, because Luther brings a clarity to the scriptures over against many heresies and false teachings that have developed over the 2,000 years of Christianity. And his simple way of teaching the basics of the faith and always pointing people to Christ as the Redeemer, Savior of the world, the one who gives us forgiveness of sins, who earned that for us, and who stands before the Heavenly Father, who will stand before him on Judgment Day and say, these are mine and they are redeemed.
Andy, do you have any questions for Pam?
Sure. With just about a minute left, Pam, I want to say, great job to the communications team. I know that you all have been working very diligently over the last few days, and I've enjoyed the photos that have come out from your team, and also just, following the blog, the news on the LCMS blog of the various resolutions and what was discussed in the resolutions. And it sounds like overall that and we have just about a minute left. It sounds like overall, even though there's always debate when a resolution when things are considered, there's always debate. But it sounds like everything has been fairly collegial, and really the ultimate goal is concord in all these matters.
Well, I think that. I think there is a sense of that. But there is also an undercurrent of people wanting to move things along. They're very... Almost from the first day, there was a sense of, we don't want long speeches at the microphones. We don't want a bunch of delay tactics and things like that. We want to take action. We want to consider the things that we've got on the docket here, and let's get to it. And you hear a lot of comments of delegates, look, we've been sent material. We've had time to look at the proposals. We're here to do business. And so there's a strong sense of that, which is great to see, too. And there are some significant disagreements. Now, first up this morning is back to Floor Committee 12. And that is going to be a hot topic for the church to consider, and that has to do with how we deal with dispute resolution, and when we think that a pastor or a member of synod is out of line. So,
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, LCMS Communications, Kip Allen, thanks so much for reporting live from Milwaukee this morning.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Wonderful.